about Mother's Day by Wikipedia. They call it the Free Encyclopedia. Actually, it's a several-page article. It's a very interesting article. It goes into some history of Mother's Day, and I'll just read you kind of a summary of it. It says, in the United States, Mother's Day is an annual holiday celebrated on the second Sunday in May. Mother's Day recognizes mothers, motherhood, and maternal bonds in general, as well as the positive contributions that they make to society. Although many Mother's Day celebrations worldwide have quite different origins and traditions, most have now been influenced by the more recent American tradition established by Jarvis. There was a lady named Jarvis that apparently got Mother's Day really going. Traditions on this day include church going, the distribution of carnations, and family dinners. So that sounds familiar, right? We usually have flowers for mothers and we take mom out to lunch or dinner or whatever we do. The modern holiday was established by Ann Jarvis, who celebrated it for the first time in 1908, then campaigned to make it an official holiday. Previous attempts at establishing Mother's Day in the United States sought to promote peace by means of honoring mothers who had lost or were at risk of losing their sons to war. The holiday has been heavily commercialized by advertisers and traders and is now a big business. So, they sell a lot of cards, and more cards, more candy, more flowers are sold on Mother's Day than pretty much any other holiday, except maybe possibly Christmas. I guess they sell more cards for Christmas. So that's a Mother's Day. One writer in talking about mothers said this: long hours, low pay, little time off. Must be willing to work overtime on weekends, holidays, summer vacations. Energy, imagination, intelligence, endurance, flexibility required. Must have the ability to lead, instruct and guide, coupled with a warm and loving, affectionate personality, on-the-job training offered. And that's kind of a job description that somebody came up with for mothers. What kind of job are we discussing here? Well, you obviously guessed it right. We're talking about mothers. Mom Wanted, that's what was the name of the advertisement that I just read to you. So there's a job description apparently that somebody dreamed up, which is probably not too far from the truth as far as mothers are concerned. One writer said this: the joys of motherhood are never fully experienced until all the children are in bed. And all God's people said, amen. Another writer: throughout the ages, no nation has ever had a better friend than the mother who taught her children to pray. A third writer said, we are now told that automation is a process that gets all the work done while you just stand there. When we were younger, this process was called mother. Some of you could probably make a good joke about that as well. Recently, somebody said to me, you know, Pastor, Mother's Day is next weekend. So you got to dig out your Mother's Day file and see what kind of a sermon you're going to come out with. You know, I've been pastor, I guess, going on 19 years now, in two different churches. And so every year we have a Mother's Day sermon. So you sort of think, well, what creative thing can I come up with this year for Mother's Day? So, but what I've actually got is not really very creative, but hopefully it will just give us some ideas as to how we can honor our mothers. So I'm going to preach a sermon today that can tell us how we can show our appreciation to our mothers this Mother's Day season. Certainly, is when we look at Scripture, we see that women and mothers have played a prominent role in Scripture as well as in human history. I mean, let's face it, none of us would be here without our mothers, right? And they remind us of that from time to time, and it's probably a good thing, because sometimes I think we forget from where we all came. As you look at Genesis chapter 3, you have Eve. Okay, she was the first woman. She was the first mother. Her name means mother of all the living. So that was the first mother. So then in the book of Exodus, we've got Jochebed, who was Moses' mother. And you remember what she did. She, you know, the decree was given that all the Hebrew male babies were to be killed. This was by the Egyptians did this. And Moses' mother hid him in a little boat that she made for him and put him among the reeds. and the princess was going down to Washington Nile and discovered the baby, felt pity on him, brought him home, and ended up the Lord was able to orchestrate events to such an extent that Moses' actual Hebrew mother became the wet nurse for the princess, and ended up Moses growing up in the house of Pharaoh. So we look at Jochebed and we have bravery and imagination, and certainly that's been an inspiration for a lot of people. There's Hannah. Anybody heard of Hannah? Hannah was Samuel's mother. Samuel was a great prophet, was a prophet during the time of Saul and of David, and he was one of Israel's greatest prophets. And Samuel's mother had taken him and dedicated him to the Lord. She promised that if she could ever have a child, because the other wife was having all kinds of children and she couldn't have one, and she became frustrated and basically promised the Lord, if you let me have a child, I will dedicate it to the Lord. And Samuel ended up going to the tabernacle and being trained by Eli, and he became a prophet of Israel. Titus chapter 2, the Bible tells us that older women were to train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one would malign the word of God. So the role of women, the role of mothers is extremely important in the Bible, and certainly in the church, and certainly in human history. I think in America, we are deviating in a very major way from these traditional roles, which God gave us. They didn't just come from our culture. We didn't just kind of make them up on our own. Actually, God gave us these roles, the role of father, the role of mother, the role of the child, how things were to be done in the home, that kind of thing. You know, our president has recently come out and stated that he was in favor of gay couples, quote unquote, getting married. And this is I can't imagine something that would be more of a slap in the face of the true and the living God. It certainly would be a dramatic deviation from what is right and from what is scriptural. Proverbs chapter 31, we just looked at that. We've got a woman who is called a noble wife, and her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. There's nothing better than a good and godly mother. And without a good and godly mother, it's pretty hard to really raise up children properly. Who invented motherhood? God, obviously. God invented motherhood. He invented fatherhood. He deems motherhood extremely important. So today we honor our mothers, and I'm just going to take some time this morning and share three specific ways in which you can honor your mother, or perhaps the wife that you have who is a mother. Number one, express appreciation. Express appreciation. Often we go through life and we're not as grateful as we should for the people in our lives and what they do and the way they take care of our needs, their kindness that they have towards us, the way they help us, and certainly mothers don't always get the appreciation that they should. I'm bivocational. I work as a counselor in a secular agency, and I can't tell you how many times I've had young people being brought to my office. And so the mother is sitting over here, and the 15-year-old kid is sitting over here, and I say, okay, well, what brings you in for counseling? And the kid looks at her and says, her. You know, mother's, kid's got problems, maybe he's smoking pot, maybe he's not going to school, maybe he's being rebellious in the home. The mother doesn't know what to do, so the typical answer is, well, we bring him in for counseling, and the counselor will straighten him out. Well, you know, people don't get straightened out unless they're willing to be straightened out, so a lot of times that doesn't go over all that well. But I remember seeing some terrible things being said to mothers by their kids, and, you know, I'm thinking, what? So I'd say to this kid, what did your mother ever do to you to have you talk to her like that? Well, she wants me to go to school. I said, well, yeah, I had to go to school when I was growing up. So express appreciation. A lot of things that could be said, expressing appreciation for our mothers don't always get said, and we need to do that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord told Eve, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. and with pain you will give birth to children. We know that the increased pain came about as a result of the fall. Now, I think there was probably going to be some anyway, but apparently it's going to be much worse as a result of the fall. And I know that we're all pretty familiar with what a woman goes through with the childbirth process. Even those of us that aren't women, you know, we've been there, you know, when our wives have had children. Nowadays, you know, you're kind of expected to be there. In the old days, you could sit down in the waiting room and smoke a cigar and hope everything came out all right, and they come out and tell you, oh, Mr. So-and-so, you have a son, or that kind of thing. But now you're kind of there with them. And men are expected, at this day and age, to get a little bit more involved. And that's probably a good thing, because we, you know, we escape a lot of that. And so we see all these things that the women go through. We see the morning sickness, and we see the stretch marks, and we see the delivery, and we see all the body changes and the hormone fluctuations, the postpartum depression, and the list could just kind of go on with what women experience as a result of childbirth. And certainly we as men need to look at that and say, you know, we've never really had to go through anything like that. We had a role in all of this, but we kind of got off scot-free, and we need to think about what happens to a woman when she delivers children, and to be grateful to our mothers for being willing to do that for us. Certainly there are people now that are not doing that. They're choosing not to go through that experience, and it's now legalized, and it's called abortion. And we decry that. But men do play a role through the whole process, but we have to acknowledge, as I said, that women bear the vast majority of the burden. They have the child conceived in their body, and actually, in most cases, provide the lion's share of the child's care. They do most of the care. I mean, you know, I would say I did some of it, but I say Patty probably did most of it. Look at my son, Matthew. I mean, I'm actually kind of proud of him. He's doing everything, you know, and I did some of that, but I didn't do it as well, and I wasn't as involved as he was, and so I'm kind of proud of my son for the way he's taking care of his daughter. Mothers nurture and protect their children. Do you ever notice that mothers are the first ones to defend their child? You know, if they feel that somebody is mistreating their child or is maybe accusing their child falsely of doing something that he didn't do, they're the first ones to rise up and go confront whoever it is or whatever it is that wants to hurt their child. Moms have a special bond with a child in many cases that the dad doesn't have. Usually what happens at night with the child cries out, who do they ask for? They'd ask for daddy? Well, probably not. Now, sometimes maybe they would, but most of the time they ask for mom. And the mother says, go over and see what your kid wants. And I'm like, I don't want. And I go over and look at him and say, well, Matthew, what's the matter? I want mama. So, you know, we've probably all gone through that. But usually at night they're asking for mom because they seem to have that special bond with mom that they don't necessarily have with dad. Doesn't mean they don't love their dad. It just means that somehow when the chips are down, they tend to be looking for mom. Scripture provides us with a number of different examples of exemplary mothers. You know, we all think of Mary. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, we think of Mary and all she went through, and Mary being willing to bear this child out of wedlock, and you know, the shame that probably did accompany that particular thing. And in John chapter 19, what do we have? We have a picture of Mary at the foot of the cross, agonizing, watching her son being crucified for the sins of the world. In Genesis chapter 21, we've got a gal named Hagar who had a son named Ishmael being driven out of Abraham's house. And as they're out in the desert and it looks like they're going to die, they don't have any food and water, and we find her agonizing over the impending death of Ishmael. And again, Jochebed. Remember Jochebed from Exodus chapter 2? You know, hid Moses in a basket, was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and later mom, through a series of events, became the wet nurse for her own son. The Lord just worked that out for her. And so we think of all these things. We think of what we owe our mothers. We owe our mothers a lot, and it's easy to take mothers for granted. So we need to verbally thank them. So children, be sure to thank your mother today for all the things that she does for you. Think about what she does. She gets you up, and she, you know, makes your lunch, and she makes sure you get dressed, and she takes care of you. And I know your dad does some of it too, but boy, your mom does an awful lot of it. So please remember that and be sure to thank her. And also another way that you can express appreciation for them is to not only verbally thank them, but to just do what they ask you to do. You know, so many times mothers get frustrated because they tell the kid to do something and he doesn't want to do it, or she doesn't want to do it. So sometimes just cooperate with her and be willing to do the things around the house that she asks you to do. There's ways that you can show love by giving gifts, flowers, kisses. Treat them with courtesy and respect. And remember to do this, especially as the mothers get older. Times when mothers get to be older ladies, they sometimes need special care. They need nurture as time goes on. And I am disturbed at times by the blatant lack of respect that many kids show their mothers. And not only in the counseling session, but sometimes in churches, sometimes in public, and sometimes as the mother gets old and everybody seems to not want to help take care of her. You know, there's defiance, there's cursing, there's rebellion, there's physical abuse, refusing to help around the house, and the list goes on and on. So make sure that we don't allow ourselves to ever act out in this way. Always be able to and willing to express love and appreciation for our mothers. You know, none of our mothers are perfect, right? If you're a mother this morning, you know deep down, you may not want to admit it to the preacher, but you know that you're not perfect. And, you know, my wife isn't perfect. Our mothers weren't perfect. And, you know, sometimes you can get kind of frustrated with mothers, but remember, this is Mother's Day. It's time to focus on all the good things they've done and express appreciation for that. If some of it that she did maybe wasn't so good, and that's probably true of all of us, just remember the best and forget the rest, as the writer puts it. So the first way that we can show love to our mothers is to express appreciation for them. By that noise, by the way, is the air conditioner coming on. Snuggle up, it's working. Second way in which we can show love to our children is to recall what she taught you. Does mothers ever teach anybody anything? They probably do. You know, they usually teach you by showing you something or explaining it to you. They also teach you by their behavior. And a lot of times you look at your mom and say, well, that's kind of the way mom did it. You know, the girl finds herself in the kitchen chopping up the onions and making the soup or the salad or whatever. And, well, how come you're doing it that way? I don't know. It's kind of the way my mom did it. So I'm doing it this way because that's what I was taught. You know, and maybe mom didn't formally take you. Now, you go like this with a knife and do this. But, you know, you kind of watched her, and that's what you learned from her. Mothers do more than just bear the children. They do more than satisfy their own maternal instincts and have children they can nurse and cuddle. They influence their children in many ways, and in many ways are the children's primary teacher. You know, if you're in a traditional type situation, you know, the man's out working and the mother's at home, that's usually the way it is. I know that we live in a day and age, sometimes we have to be a little bit flexible with some of these arrangements, and there may be some situations where the father is also a primary teacher. When a mother handles this responsibility well, this can have very positive benefits in the life of a child. If a mother doesn't do well in this area, or is maybe abusive or neglectful in the treatment of her children, the negative consequences obviously can be devastating. Anybody watch The Truth Project? You remember that guy with all the tattoos? You know, pretty cynical, kind of a hardened guy, you know, just covered with tattoos. I mean, I've met people like that. And I'm not going on an anti-tattoo tirade, but just noticing that he had kind of a counter-cultural demeanor about him. And while, as you listen to the last Truth Project, he indicated his mother was a very abusive alcoholic, and that impacted him in a very negative way, and he made some reference to that. And so to keep in mind that how mothers treat their children can have an impact on how they come out later on. John Wesley had a mother, as I guess we all do. His mother was Susanna, and Susanna had 19 children, 10 of which lived. Have to remember, this is back in the old days, you know, the infant mortality rate was extremely high. I mean, it was just about every other kid, I think, that passed away. 10 of these kids lived, and John Wesley reports that he learned a number of things from her, from his mother: the duty of love to God and man, the necessity of personal holiness — his mother taught him this — the necessity of prayer, self-denial, the need to bend one's will to God. These were things that John Wesley was taught, you know. And John Wesley, as you know, was a well-known pastor, evangelist, and did a lot of good for the kingdom of God. In our home, we homeschooled our children. And Patty did most of the homeschooling. And to be completely honest, I worked. I went to seminary. Patty would be home doing the homeschooling. So a lot of what the kids learned, not only academically, but in other areas, came from Patty. Many children's personal habits are a result of a mother's teaching. Mothers teaches them right from wrong, along with the father, but especially like how to clean your room, how to do other kinds of things, you know, around the house, you know, how to treat other people, to say please, to say thank you. Where do you learn all that? Well, you learn that from your parents, and a lot of times it's your mother that teaches you that. The father helps, but if the father's not always around as much, then the mother ends up doing much of that teaching and explaining of things to children. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded now lives in you." This is the Apostle Paul writing this letter, this epistle to Timothy. And Timothy had a mother, Eunice, and had a grandmother. And they were very active in his life, obviously. The father was a Greek or a Gentile, and he was apparently not alive and not in the equation at this time. And so what Timothy learned, he learned from his mother. And he learned about the Old Testament scriptures. And he learned about the messianic prophecies, for example. And so when Paul came along and started working with Timothy and shared the gospel with Timothy, what happened with Timothy? Timothy was able to take what he'd learned from his mother, and probably his grandmother as well, and apply that to what Paul was telling him about Jesus. Able to make the connection between the Christ who died on the cross for his sins and the Old Testament messianic prophecies that pointed to that. And the result of it was what? Well, Timothy got saved, and his mother was all part of that, and became a spiritual child of the Apostle Paul and was helping him in the ministry. In fact, Timothy was so famous that Paul wrote him two books called 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And we find these books or letters in the New Testament. And Timothy's name means one who fears God. And he learned all of this at the feet of his mother. She doesn't want to hear a Mother's Day message. She said, "Nope, I don't think so," she says. So mothers are not perfect, as we know. They have imperfections. Mothers are sinners, just like fathers are sinners. We're all sinners. And even Mary, you know, we call her the Virgin Mary. She was a virgin for a short while, had Jesus, and after that wasn't a virgin anymore. And she was a sinner too, in fact, called Christ her Savior and called Christ her Lord. So we honor these women that are imperfect, but they are mothers, and they are mothers. And we remember to express appreciation for them, and we recall what they taught us. I have something I want to read to you. This is called Reflections of a Mother. Maybe some of you have seen this. It says, "I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can give you directions, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about drugs and alcohol, but I cannot say no for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you with unconditional love all of my life, and I will. And the author is someone named Patrick Atkinson. So that's Reflections of a Mother. What is the third thing that we can do to show honor and show love to our mothers? And here we're talking about, of course we're in church now, okay? And we're talking about Christian people. The third thing that we can do is make sure that we're walking with the Lord. There's nothing that pleases a mother and a father more than to have a child who's walking with the Lord, who is really interested in the things of God and is involved in church and reads the Bible and prays and is bringing up their own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We wonder sometimes how many people came to faith in Christ at the feet of their mother. You know, and so many people that we've heard about have said that. A theologian was once asked by a reporter, "Sir, you have written many large volumes of theology about God. How do you know they're true?" And the theologian responded, "My mother told me." Anybody ever heard of Tim Tebow? It was his mother that led him to the Lord. He went to his dad. He said, he was a little kid, I guess, somewhere around 5 or 6 or something like that, maybe a little bit older. And he really wanted to get saved. They were a Christian family. They went to church. They talked about God and talked about being saved. And so he went to his dad, and his dad says, "Well, I want to be sure you're ready." And so they went into a long discussion about what it meant to be saved and all this kind of stuff. And the father was kind of putting him off a little bit. And the kid was saying, "I want to be saved." So finally he went to his mother and said, "You know, I tried this with Dad, but he's too hard. So can I do it with you?" And so I guess apparently his mother led him to the Lord. It has been said that D.L. Moody was ushered into the kingdom of heaven by the prayers of his mother. Anybody heard of Augustine or Augustine? You know, in his writings, he confessed, he's one of the early church fathers, the great debt that he owed his mother, Monica, who was a Christian woman who prayed for him, and eventually, under the ministry of someone called Ambrose, came to Christ and eventually was reunited with his mother prior to her death as a Christian man, and brought great joy to her heart. In our context, you know, what is the context we have here? We're basically an evangelical, fundamental kind of reformed church setting, Bible believing church. Probably many of us have saved mothers, and what a joy it is for a mother to see her child motivated to walk with the Lord, at least partially by remembering how much that will mean to her. If we have mothers, maybe, for example, that aren't saved, what we can do is we can continue to pray for them and to live a godly life, and hopefully by your prayers and by the working of the Lord in their heart, they'll come to know Christ. One writer put it this way, and we'll close with this: "When I learned to recognize faces, one face always smiled at me with eyes that danced with laughter. I called her Mom. When I started walking around a house on shaky feet that could hardly hold me up, someone with a smile in her eyes was always there to catch me. I called her Mom. When I came home late, someone would meet me at the door with relief mixed with love in her eyes. There were moms. And when I asked Jesus to take back control of my life, those eyes overflowed with love and joy. Thank you, Mom." So this morning, I give you three ways in which you can show love to Mom. Express appreciation for her and to her. Recall all the good things that she taught you and put them into effect in your life. And number 3, most importantly, to remember to walk.